I like class participation. Hallelujah. God is good. Let me ask you a question. Did you tell anybody about Jesus this week? Amen. I heard some yeses. That is wonderful. If you have yet to confess to somebody else that Jesus Christ is Lord and explain to them how much he loves them and how much he desires them, explain to them that their sins can be forgiven if they would just turn their hearts to him and follow him. If you have yet to do that, let me encourage you, find someone and tell them. Make it a practice. I put a post on the other day that said that if you haven't made the decision to tell somebody about Jesus Christ each and every day, then you got to get your priorities straight. We as believers, we know there's we sing a song. It says, "Behold, I come quickly." We know that Jesus is coming soon. It's very important that we get the gospel message out there and we reach out to the lost and give them opportunity to be saved. It's very important. Because when that day comes and we hear that trumpet sound, we hear the voice of the archangel, and Jesus appears and the church is raptured, oh boy, nobody wants to be left behind from that. And so, it's our job to preach the gospel to our friends and our neighbors, our families, everybody that we can possibly get the message out to. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And that's why we practice here by doing what? Look at your neighbor and say, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" Or "Let me tell you about Jesus." However it is you want to phrase it. It's evolving. It's a work in progress. Amen. We've been going through these verses. We're still on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me." Today I want to talk about the manifestation of the power and the witness of the Holy Ghost having fallen, as that results as after having the Holy Ghost fall upon us. Again, I like class participation. For some reason, I want more of it today. Repeat after me. I have power to be a witness. I have power to be a witness. Do we know that? Do we walk in that? Do we even think about that when we go throughout our day? I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, there's some manifestation that I want to talk about. I don't have a lot of slides today, and I have a lot of scripture. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you did not bring your Bibles, or even if you did and you can't keep up, then just write it down. Write down the scripture references that I'm going to give you, because I want you to be able to understand what God is doing and understand that how the Holy Spirit works and what his purpose and plan is for you. We're going to start in Acts chapter 2. What happened when the Holy Ghost came upon the early church? Here's a list of verses that I'm going to run with for a little while. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, if you've been here in all the previous weeks, we've already covered that Jesus said that he would send his Spirit and that we would receive power. We've already covered the idea that his Spirit is for all of us, in that we need to seek him and ask him for it. But when the Holy Spirit falls on us, we have to have a little bit of an understanding what takes place. Now, here in the early church, in the upper room, the Holy Ghost, it says it came on them, it appeared to them like a divided tongue, as a fire, which sat on each and every one of them. Now, I don't read anywhere else in Scripture where this particular circumstance took place, where fire actually, you know, appeared on each of their heads. Could you imagine how hysterical this place would be this morning if the Holy Spirit came in like this and it appeared as though our heads were on fire? Could you imagine it? I'm curious if maybe after God did that and he saw what happened, he's like, you know, maybe we'll do it a different way from here on. I don't know. But I do know this, that the fire is representative of something. And I know this, that when people receive the Holy Ghost into their lives today, they get set on fire on the inside. The fire, it's not something visible on our heads, but what it is, it's something visible in our being. You can tell. How many can recognize when you walk down the street? You can tell somebody who's on fire for God, can't you? Because it's in, there's a passion. You want to say something, Liz?
Gene Qualitieri.
The friend of ours we graduated high school with. We didn't even know that she had gotten saved. And we see her in Walmart one day, just jumping up in the air. We see her from a distance. What is she doing? We go walking down there. Gene, what are you doing? Rapture practice. She's jumping up in the air. She said, I'm practicing for rapture. I didn't even know she was saved. She was so on fire for Jesus Christ, it just bubbled out of her. I mean, it was amazing. And that's, you know, a passion for God, a love for God. You can tell when you're around somebody that's like that. It's very important that we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and set us on fire in the same manner. But you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We're consumed with this all-consuming love of God and this fire and desire inside us that just burns and yearns for Him. And so the Holy Ghost fell on them as a fire. And then it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, tongues is a very mysterious thing. That particular instance, again, was the first time, the only time in Scripture where it actually mentions that the languages that were coming out of their lips were languages that were understood by the people outside. They were actual, you know, foreign languages. And you can read later, if you read the Bible and you do some real deep study, you realize that some of those people who heard the gospel went back to their hometowns in their villages, in their countries, and took what they learned and what they'd heard back to those countries. Because you will see where Paul, is, as a missionary, goes out and the apostles, when they go out to other places, they already find believers there. And it's believed and understood that because the Holy Spirit fell on these men and women and they spoke in another language that they did not know, just words were coming out, they didn't know why, they didn't know what they were saying, but the people outside heard it. That's the only time in Scripture where that particular instance takes place, where the people understood the languages. But tongues is mentioned many times in the Bible. And I want to share with you really quickly how many other times where Scripture records that when the Holy Spirit came on them, they spoke in tongues. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of argument in churches, and I don't really want to get into a big dogmatic fight over when you get the Spirit, how you get the Spirit, and all those things. But it's important that we know that we get saved when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we choose to follow Him. But then there's another experience where the Holy Spirit comes on us. You know, it says here in verse 14, the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. So in other words, Samaria received Jesus as their Savior. So now they send John, Peter and John to them, verse 15, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, this particular portion of Scripture, I'm not sure if maybe the emphasis was for us to understand that there is another experience after getting saved where the Holy Spirit is poured on us. And the reason I say that is because this is the only portion where it says they laid hands on them and they received the Spirit, but it doesn't specifically say they spoke in tongues. But something physical and something evidential happened, because in verse 18 it says when Simon, who was, if you read the story, Simon was a sorcerer, but he gets saved. It says, when Simon saw that through the laying on the hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, and then he offered them money because he wanted to be able to do that himself. I want to be able to pray for people and have the Holy Spirit fall on them. But what it says is Simon saw. Well, what did he see? I'm guessing he saw them speak in tongues. And the reason why I say that is because it goes along with what happened in the upper room, and then what happened in Acts chapter 10. Turn to Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 14. Am I in the right place? I'm sorry, verse 44. In Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. You see, Peter gets this, he's up on the roof of his house, I don't know, praying, I guess, and the Lord gives him a vision and sends him to the Gentiles, and some of Cornelius' brothers show up, and Peter goes over there and he preaches the gospel to them, and they accept the Lord. And the moment they accept the Lord, the Holy Spirit falls on them and they start speaking in tongues. Now, that's not everybody's experience. I do know some people who the moment they got saved, they started speaking in tongues at the same time. But I know more people who got saved and then it took maybe weeks or months or years after. I know a brother who is more of a, and I don't want to get into denominational lines and things like that, but I know a brother who's more of the Baptist background. He had prayed and prayed and prayed that God would fill him with the Holy Spirit, and he believes he was filled with the Spirit at the moment he got saved, and I'm not going to argue with him about that. 30 years go by, and then all of a sudden he starts speaking in tongues. Don't stop seeking God. Never give up. Again, with the Ephesians, and so we have the apostles in the upper room, the Samaritans, we have the Gentiles with Cornelius. Look at Acts chapter 19. We're just going to keep rolling right through the Bible here. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, the Ephesians. Paul goes. It says, Apollos was at Corinth in verse 1, and Paul passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, found some disciples there, said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Again, he's asking them this question because there's another experience. Once you come to Jesus Christ and you get saved, that is wonderful. You are on your way to heaven. But he says, have you received the Spirit since you believed? And so my question is anybody sitting here this morning, yeah, you understand salvation, you understand that Jesus died for your sins, and when we ask him to forgive us, he forgives us of our sin, and we follow him, and because we believe in our heart, we confess in our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we're saved, but have you received his Holy Spirit? If you're not even sure what I'm talking about, then probably not. Ask Jesus, God, what's he talking about, and can I have it? It says there in verse 6, it says, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And so that was, we have the apostles in the upper room, we have the Samaritans, we have the Gentiles, we have the Ephesians. Now go to 1 Corinthians. And I realize I'm going through this kind of quickly, but that's okay. I don't want to get into a whole bunch of stuff about tongues right now. I just want to lay down a bit of a foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about prophecy in tongues. If you have any questions about speaking in tongues, chapter 14 in the book of 1 Corinthians is a good book to read. There are many people that don't even want to admit that this is in the Bible, because I know people that believe that speaking in tongues is of the devil and all this stuff. And say, and again, some of you are like, I don't even know what he's talking about, speaking in tongues. I'll try to explain it in a minute. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Now, I point this passage out for two reasons. One, because we should understand that the Corinthian church had received the Holy Spirit and were speaking in tongues. So we have the Samaritans, the Ephesians, the Gentiles, the Corinthians, the apostles, everybody speaking in tongues after the Holy Ghost comes on them. And one of the reasons I bring that up is because the assemblies of God hold to the fact that they believe that the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit in one's life is to speak in tongues. And there's so much scripture to back it up that I can't argue with that. And so we have this idea, okay, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in our lives, and we're going to ask him. And you know what? Here's the thing. If you're seeking God's Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to come on you, seek him. Don't seek the experience of speaking in tongues. Let him do that to you. And some of you perhaps have asked God for his Spirit, and he may have come into you, and you have been afraid or not really understanding of the things that are going on in your mind. You see, it says that those who speak in tongues in chapter 14 and verse 4 of 1 Corinthians, he who speaks of tongues edifies himself. When you're in prayer, I want you to be conscious about what you're praying. Be conscious about what God is speaking to you. Because speaking in tongues is really nothing more than speaking verbally the words or the syllables or whatever it is that's in that the Spirit puts in you. Just let it come out. I've had people say, you know, I believe it's kind of like an act of faith for some. Whereas if there's words in there, you just by faith speak them. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to feel foolish. It's going to sound dumb. You're going to think that, oh my gosh, why am I talking like a baby? Just being honest. But just like with any other language, who when you go to begin a new language, you speak it fluently the first day? Nobody. And I'm curious if God just gives you one or two syllables once, you know, just to get you started. And then he asks you to step out in faith and just speak what's in there. Just let it come out. I've had others who have had the experience that God just, when they opened their mouth, they couldn't say anything but something. They had no clue what was coming out. Speaking in tongues is when you hear somebody just rambling off in syllables or words or phrases that just, what is that? Understand it's something that the Holy Spirit is doing in them. And don't fear it. Don't be afraid of it. And I'm not even all that concerned that you desire yourself to speak in tongues. I hope that you desire yourself to be filled with God's Spirit. And if he wants you to speak in tongues, he'll let you know. It'll either just come out or he'll put it in your spirit to just, you'll be compelled to speak it and just let it out. And so again, I don't want to get into a big thing about speaking in tongues, but it is part of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. And so we need to be aware of that. And also understand what it's for. It's to edify you. Now, if you read the book of chapter 14, you hear a lot of things about where tongues are used in the church. In other words, somebody might stand up and just start blurting out all this stuff, and it's like, what is that? Somebody else should be in the room that can stand up and interpret what that is based on, again, not because they understand some foreign language, but because the Holy Spirit is speaking words through them that will edify the whole church. And so Paul at one point rebukes them for a lot of confusion that was taking place, where people were getting up and speaking in tongues and there was no interpretation. He says, don't do that. He'd rather speak five words in that everybody understood versus 1,000 words in tongues that nobody understands, because that doesn't help anybody. And so in church, you know, there's a lot of instruction there. But if you really want to be edified by God, ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then as the Spirit gives you utterance, it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance, they spoke. Then just let it out, whatever it is. Yes, Danny.
I would love it's a gift. God gives it.
Amen.
And when you turn around and give it a gift, you never speak before. It's amazing, you know. And my wife had a lot of gift.
God is no respecter of persons or denominations. You ask Him for His Spirit and he'll give it. Now, all right, enough about speaking in tongues right now. And I know I probably raised more questions than answers. And we can get into that at another time. But what I really want to talk about right now is the who, the what, the why, and the how pertaining to the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness for Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. If somebody comes along and finds out that you're one who speaks in tongues and they get scared and run away from Jesus, what good is that? It's all about everything we do, everything God calls us to do is about lifting Him up and being a witness for Him. Never forget what that verse said. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be witnesses for me. So, the what, the how, the why. Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to go quickly, and so that's why I ask that you write these verses down so that you can look at your Bibles later. I highly encourage personal Bible study. If you don't do that on your own, you're missing a lot of stuff. If all the Bible you're getting is from me on Sunday mornings, you're not getting enough. You're going to be very hungry. And you're not going to learn what God wants you to learn. Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Thank you, Jesus. He wants us to have understanding, right? You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. How many know there's a lot of people being led around by a whole lot of dumb stuff? And we were some of it. We did that ourselves. I did that. I followed some pretty dumb stuff. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So understand what that verse is saying, that if you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, understand that the Holy Spirit is already doing something in you, because you couldn't even say that if He wasn't. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so it doesn't matter. I was here Friday with somebody I know and love working on toilets. It's the same Spirit of God that inspires us to work on those toilets as it is that'll compel us to come up here and pray for the sick. It's the same Spirit. Don't think lightly of whatever the gift is that God has given you. It's very important, and it is anointed, and it is wonderful. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. How many know if we didn't have a toilet back there that worked, It wouldn't be. It was for the profit of you all. Hallelujah. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongue. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, here's the thing. How many of you ever heard that, you know, there's this test out there, you can figure out what your spiritual gift is, right? If you want to do that, that's great, but you know what? I don't think you need to go take a test to figure out what your spiritual gift is. I think you just need to start ministering to people. You want to find out if you've got the gift of wisdom? Well, most of us probably know we don't. Just being honest. But if you do, realize where that comes from. Oh my gosh, I have some wisdom in this area. It comes from God. You want to know if you've got the gift of knowledge? Well, when you read your Bible, does it make sense to you? Are you able to then articulate it and explain it to somebody else? Well, maybe you've got the gift of knowledge. Minister in that gift. You don't need a test to do that. By the same Spirit, faith. Anybody here got great faith? That's a gift from God. If you are lacking in faith, ask God, you know what, God, I could use a little more of that gift because there's stuff going on and I just don't have the faith to move forward. Gift of healings. How are you going to find out if you got the gift of healings? Pray for the sick. You don't need a test to do that. Go pray for somebody. Anybody sick here this morning? Not feeling well? Oh, I got a hand almost trying to go up. First time the man's been here, he doesn't want us to converge on him, I'm sure. God bless you. Or maybe he does. Lord, bless him and heal him. You want to find out if you've got the gift of working of miracles? Pray for all kinds of things. When the money runs out, pray for a miracle. When your loved one is sick, pray for a miracle. When the power company's coming to turn off the lights, pray for a miracle. Or a paraplegic. Easy now. Yeah. Don't even tell me what you do with those players, brother. I don't want to know. Or prophecy, or discerning of spirits, or different kinds of tongues, or interpretation of tongues. Have you ever, if you're somebody who's heard somebody speak in tongues, and you just had this compelling, again, I use that word because I believe that's how God speaks to us a lot of times. He just compels us. He just gives us a knowing. And you just have this understanding. It's like, huh, I think the Spirit is saying this. Well, if that's you, that's a gift. Use it. So again, you don't have to take a test to figure out what your spiritual gift is. Just start ministering to people. Somebody in need, help them. Somebody sick, pray for them. Somebody doesn't understand what the Bible says, come alongside. Hey, let's read this together. We'll study this out. Figure this out. Let the Spirit of God use you to do what? What is the final goal in all of these things? What is the priority? Being a witness for Jesus. That's what your spiritual gift is for. Your spiritual gift isn't so that you can walk around and say, hey, look at me, I perform miracles. Or look at me, I heal the sick, I raise the dead. I do all kinds of things. No, it's not about you at all. It's about Jesus Christ and it's about being a witness for him. Hey, did you see that person that just got healed when I prayed for him? It's because Jesus healed him. Hey, you know what the Spirit just said just a moment ago through that person? And this is what Jesus is saying. It's all about him, being a witness for him. If you want to work for God, if you want to work under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, understand the priority of it. It's not about us, it's about him. And the more we lift him up, the more people he will draw to him, and the more these spiritual gifts will be manifest in the church as we will be obedient and minister them. Look at Corinthians chapter 12. Let's jump over to verse 27. Wow. I don't have time to read all these scriptures I got for us. Verse 27 in chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But do earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So here's a list of the who. The who. Apostles. Ephesians says it like this. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You see, we just read what the what was, the gifts are. Now we know what the who are. And guess what? I've said this before. I'm not the only pastor in this church. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, and there are teachers in this church. I may be the one up front at the moment, but I'll tell you what, I know this for a fact, that God has appointed you to be a pastor somewhere, to somebody. He's appointed you to be an evangelist to somebody, somewhere. You are you know what an apostle is? You know, we hesitate to give anybody the title apostle. Ooh, you know, really, apostle is somebody who's like a missionary, somebody who goes out and spreads the gospel, somebody who's able to go out and teach others. Yeah, they should be held in a high esteem, but let's not be afraid to call it what it is. It's a lover of Jesus Christ who's going out being a good witness for him. Can you be an apostle? Sure. Can you be a teacher? Yes, you can. And if you've got children, I want you to know you are the primary teacher of your children when it comes to things of God. I hope that you're not expecting any Sunday school to do it or any youth worker to take care of your teens. You are the primary teacher for your teens. And if you don't have it in you to do that, then I encourage you, get in the Word and walk through it with them. Be that teacher for them. Now, he says, there's a more excellent way. And, you know, I want to back up to verse 29 there. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? I want to underline, are all workers. 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 We are all workers of something. We're either workers of iniquity, I hope not, woo, or we're workers when it comes to administering the gifts of the Holy Spirit, having them manifest through us and administering them and ministering to other people. Workers. He says, I give you a more excellent way. Verse chapter 13 starts out, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass, clanging cymbal. If you read down through that, you realize that it doesn't matter whether you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or teacher. If you don't love people, it's all wasted. It's all about love. The who, the what, the why. The how. Who? You. What? The gifts of the Spirit that we just read about. How? Just do it. Just do it. If you don't know what to do, then ask God. God, show me. What do I do? I've said this to many people. I've been going around and I've been asked, because I'm involved in so many things, people are starting to say, hey, well, how do I do that? And my simple answer is this: if you make yourself available to Jesus Christ to use, he will use you. We have got to make ourselves available to advance his kingdom. We have got to change some of our priorities, some of our commitments. You know, the men down in Penn Yan, they want to know how to get started working with CareNet. I said, you know what? You decide what day, how much time, and commit to it. And I could say the same thing to all of you. If there's a ministry going, or if there's no ministry going, and God is calling you to lead some ministry, Whether it be a prayer walk around the block, whether it be going over to the neighbor's house and raking the lawn, whatever it is, you make yourself available. You look at your time and you say, hey, okay, this part of my life I really don't need. It's just wasting time. Or that thing in my life, I could really, maybe if I did something different, would be more profitable for the kingdom of God. And you pry towards your time. And you make a commitment. Because if we don't, it's just like following Christ. If you don't consciously choose and make a commitment for Christ, you won't follow him. It's something you have to do intentionally. If you want to minister to others, if you want the Holy Ghost to use you, to come on you and pour out some of these gifts in order that you would be a worker for God, then you've got to choose, Lord, I want to be used by you, and I'm going to give you this time, this moment. So make yourselves available. He will use you, but do it in love. It's got to come from love. Now, if you struggle loving others, I did. I'll be honest with you. Before we started Celebrate Recovery, I struggled loving drug addicts. I had a problem with that. I struggled loving dealers, especially. I struggled with that. Until God showed me, you know, it's not about drug addiction, it's about sin addiction. There's only one answer for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And those guys out there and those gals out there aren't any different than I was. I was a sinner who needed to be saved. And so God had to do a work in my heart and show me how to love them so that now it's not when I walk down the street or drive by and see, I don't see losers anymore. I see people who need Jesus Christ, and in my heart I say, I'm coming for you. Because I want you to know the same grace, the same mercy, the same love that I know. It only comes from Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to administer the gifts of the Holy Spirit as he puts them on us and gives them to us, administer them in love. I had 1 Peter chapter 4 there. I can't even remember what's there, so we're just going to go and look at it. Verse 7 through 11. It's a 7-11 gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Do you hear that? The end of all things is at hand. Time is short. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Be serious about this. Don't take it for granted. Oh, if I just kind of wake up, God's going to do something awesome and wonderful, and then I'll get the end of the day, and it'll just be bliss. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be nice? No, be serious about it. There are days he does that, praise God, but you know what? I think he wants us to take it a little more seriously. Be serious, be watchful in your prayers. In your prayers implies that you're a person who prays. Are you a person who prays? If not, become a person who prays. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Fervent love for one another. How many know a sinner that you're really struggling right now to love? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. There are certain sinners. I could name off some, but I won't. Oh, brother. Woo-hoo. Like I said, there are certain sinners who call themselves Christian. But you know what? You're right. I mean, it doesn't matter. There are people in our lives, whether they're a Christian, whether they're a non-Christian, whether they're a family member, whether they're a friend, whether it's somebody you read about on the news, whether it's somebody who's halfway around the world. We struggle at times with love, don't we? But it says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Ooh, I underlined that. In my Bible, if you looked, it's underlined. Without grumbling. How many like grumblers? Ooh, no. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift. Okay, everybody. I have a gift. You know where you got it from? You got it from God. You think God would have given you that gift if he didn't intend you to use it? And above all, do you think God would have given you that gift if he didn't expect you to administer it with love for one another? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. I love what it says there. Let him do it with the ability which God supplies. You know, many of us think, oh, I can't do anything. I'm not capable. God supplies the ability, okay? He said, don't fear. Oh, I don't know what to do. He'll show you what to do. I remember when I first started playing guitar or playing with the worship team, I had no clue. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. God supplies. He does it. And so if he's calling you to do something, don't have any fear. And you'll know when he's calling you to do something, because again, like I said, he compels. He just puts a knowing in you. It's like, is that God? Yeah, that's God. If it's the devil, you'll know, because the devil doesn't tell you to do godly things. Right? And so if God's compelling you to do something, he will give you the ability to do it. Talking this morning with somebody who perhaps might go on a mission trip for the first time. How many people here are afraid to go on the mission field? A few. It's true. Well, you know what? If God has put it in you to do it, you already know. I'm going to say this right now. You already know that God has put in you to do a mission trip. And all I can say is be obedient to what God has already revealed to you. And allow him to give you that ability to go. How many people have been on missions trips who could not afford to go in the first place, but you went because God supplied? He gave you the ability, right? That's what he does. You could come up with all the excuses. Oh, I know God, I think God wants me to go on this missions trip, but there's no way. I don't have any money. Well, God will give you the money. I don't know what I would even do there. I don't have anything to say. God will give you the words. Yeah. I don't speak their language. Don't worry about it. He'll have somebody there to interpret. It's funny, the other night I was with somebody and we were talking about... sorry, I'm running a little long, guys. Okay. Awesome. Amen. Go minister love on that boy. I'll see you tomorrow night, right? Awesome. Amen. The church has left the building. I love that. He's going to do what God's called him to do. Praise the Lord. Where am I? I was talking to somebody the other night. I have no clue. I do remember. I was talking to somebody the other night who was talking about nonverbal communication. Because we were talking about going to a foreign country and you don't know the language. Well, guess what? You can do a lot with nonverbal communication. You can love a lot. My example of the other night was that somebody realized I really wanted my bowl of ice cream. They could tell by the look on my face and the desire in my heart that I didn't have to say anything. They knew exactly what I wanted. Anyway, make yourself available. He will use you. I'll just give you this one more verse. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So the who is you. The what is the gifts of the Spirit. The how is just do it. Why? Because Jesus is worthy. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Oh, we got to take up another offering. Where's the? Could you grab some baskets and just put one in the back? On the back table. I'm going to have her put a basket on the back table. And if you would like to donate and help us with the shipping, help us love little children around the world with just a Christmas present, a box full of stuff that if we don't send it, they're not getting it. That's the bottom line. Okay, amen. So if you're wondering what goes in those boxes, there's a list, and if you would like to help provide some of that, there's a basket there for you to put materials in to help us fill the boxes that we're getting ready to send. But that basket that's on that little table back there will be to help us with the shipping. It costs us $7 or $8 per box. I don't know if it went up this year or not. Last year we spent over $800, I think it was, just in shipping alone. And so if you understand what our church budget is, you know that's a hard thing. And so we just asked that perhaps you would help us in that. And before you leave, put something in that basket and help us with the shipping. And if you're not prepared this week, we'll do it again next week. And, you know, we'll try to get that taken care of. So anyway, thank you for that. Stand with me if you will. Now, I'm sorry I ran just a few minutes late. But I want you to understand something. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about how he would give us the power to overcome our own sin in order that we could be a good witness for Jesus Christ, not a hypocritical one. And also, this week we talked about all the gifts of the Spirit that are available to us to use to do just what he's called us to do and be that good witness. Now, I'm sure, again, I've raised some questions. Come back tonight. By the way, I made another slide, just kind of advertising our service tonight and Wednesday night and our prayers on Wednesday. If you've got more questions than answers this morning, come back tonight. We'll talk about some of this stuff. I know Doug, he's usually got the thing going, but it's pretty kind of open. It's very nice to be able to sit down and discuss the things of God. But anyway, if you don't think that you are have had the Holy Spirit experience that we've been talking about, I want you to ask him today. I hope it's your desire to be everything that God wants you to be. And you can't be that if you don't have all of God. You need not only his name in your lips, you need his Spirit in your heart. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you, God, that there's real truth in your word. And there's real people that you want to use, and there's real gifts that you want your people to use in order to administer your love to the lost and to be a witness for you. And so, God, I pray for everybody in this place today, even if they don't know they need the desire for your Holy Spirit to come upon them, I pray that you'll pour out your Spirit on them anyway. God, if any is hungry and asking for you, then please, Lord, pour out your Spirit on them today. Lord, we're not worried about whether or not we're going to speak in tongues. We're not worried about. We're just going to step out in faith and ask you, Lord, to do what you want in us. And God, may we administer according to the ability that you give us your love through these gifts of the Spirit. I pray for every apostle, every prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher that are standing here with me this morning. God, that we would go forward, administer your love, and advance your kingdom. Pour out your Spirit on us all now, here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. If you would like prayer, then please come forward. We would certainly love to pray for you. Other than that, I'd love to see you back tonight at 6 o'clock. Be praying for me. I've got to go meet with a